Hello, and welcome to Soul-Led Living, a podcast dedicated to helping you live your soul's true path so you can create the dream life you know you are meant to live. I'm Nikki Novo, your spiritual mentor, a fiery Latina, mom of three, and an advocate for living soul-led. You're here because you're meant to be here, so let's do this. My friend, where you want to go requires a new identity from you. What does that mean? What's the new identity? How do we get there? That's what today's episode is about. We have 8 messages about your new identity. So let's get into it. So this episode was actually inspired by this week's Monday reading. And in Monday reading, there was something about, there's something you want, but it's going to require a new you. So it's like these goals that we have, they sound super amazing, but in order to have the thing that we want or to be the person that has that thing, we have to become new. And it's almost like the version of us that has that is a new version of us. And that doesn't mean that we're changing who we truly are, right? In order to have that thing. But think about some of the stuff you might have today. Maybe you're a mother, or maybe you have a career, or maybe you have a certain house. And how different you are now that you have that thing than when maybe you were renting, or maybe when you were a single person and didn't have any kids, right? You have changed, and now the version of you that has those things that you once wanted is a different version. So that is what's coming up here. This is like a manifesting conversation. This is very much a, I have a dream, I have a goal, there's something I'm trying to work towards, something I really want. And one of your answers to the prayers you've been asking is identity shift. So identity shift is really saying, like, the most typical ones, right, are like maiden to mother. So like, think about the woman who is single, is not married yet, and then she goes down this journey of ultimately becoming a mother. So maiden is her before kids, and then mother is her with the kids. And there's a total transformation during that time. And you know, that's like a very typical shift of one identity to another. But we are going to actually label this identity and decide what that identity is for us that supports the place that we're going to. So stick with me. I have 8 messages today, and we're going to start off with message number 1. Message number 1 is about naming the identity. So it is almost like our North Star. It's this idea of, okay, I guess the version of me that has this thing, this is her new identity. This is what I would call her. If she's a character, this is the character that she would be. So we're actually going to name that identity. And I was trying to feel into what is that proper name for you. And I got a few tips. So first, if you're in Clarity app, we have the Future Self guided meditation. I want you to use that guided meditation. Go visit the Future Self. And in that meditation, I guide you to get a message from your future self. So when you are being guided to ask for this question or this message that you're looking for, I want you to ask the future self to name the archetype of like what she is. I want her to name the identity that she is living. And that's where you're going to get your identity from. So from going into the future, chatting with her and getting that info, she's going to give you that information. If you're not in the Clarity app, we have, I don't know if it's 7-day trial, a free trial. So just check out the free trial, come on over to the Clarity app and check out that meditation. So that's the first thing. And then if I really am leaning into what this identity is, it's funny. It's definitely an expanded version of you. But interesting enough, I feel like she's more specific, or she's more specialized. There's a lot that goes away. There's a lot that she isn't anymore to become who she truly is. So even though it's an expanded version of you, you might even find it being almost like a narrower version of you, because there's a lot that is let go. There's a lot that's handed off in order to move into where you're going. The other thing about this identity is it felt feminine for sure, but almost like a quirky feminine. So I feel like some of you are going to think it's a kind of this badass, get things done, like boss babe or something like that. And while this version of you is definitely one who accomplishes, one who creates miracles and makes it happen, you might be thinking about it a little too masculine. And we are going to talk about that for sure, because there's a message about the masculine aspects of it. But this is definitely more queen, more feminine. Yes, visionary, and I get things done, but there is more of a feminine name to it. So it feels like it's feminine, but also quirky. So kind of like the Hollywood star, but who's kind of folky and not the blonde starlet cheerleader. She might be off to the side a little bit, but still very powerful. So it's an archetype that you might know, but then it's like your version of that archetype. So when you see that archetype or when it starts to come to you, definitely add your way, your style, your way of doing things. I want to use the word quirky. It's this, but you, and the you part is kind of quirky. So maybe your new identity has two names instead of just one, the creative star or the intuitive mother or something like that. So name it, but name it you, if that makes sense. And that's our first message. Message number two, again, you might feel like you got to amp up your energy and like get ready for this, but you don't. I actually see this being a calmer, slower, deeper, more present version of you. So she moves slower. She is deeper, meaning she is more in her body than you are right now. She grounds into her body, grounds into the earth, is present in the situation. It feels like she's even doing tasks that take a little bit longer than some of the tasks she's doing now or the way she's doing the task. And the reason for that is because, like I said, and we have a message about it, so I'll go into it deeper later, but you're going to let go of a lot. And that might even be tasks, right? You're going to let go of smaller, shorter tasks in order to do what really matters and to be part of what's important. And that's going to require a depth from you. So for example, maybe I am currently not booking people on my calendar. That is not something I do. And that's a quick task that can be done. And that's always fun to do those quick tasks. But I actually have longer tasks these days. It's like, okay, we're going to record the podcast. We're going to write down what's coming through in the podcast. We're going to upload the files. These things take longer than maybe a quick like checking things off the list. And I've had to let go of the things that are quicker and that get checked off the list. So there's something about just deepening, slowing down. This is definitely a new nervous system. So this nervous system breathes deeper, breathes slower. This is something I've been working on. It's so fascinating. I've been working with my therapist and doing some EMDR. And there's this old version of me that I guess needs like adrenaline to get things done. So it's so interesting. I'm not in that place anymore, but my body is so used to like pumping this adrenaline at a certain time of the day. It's like always the same time of the day. And I have to tell my body, hey, like we do not need that adrenaline to perform because we're not performing anymore. We're just being. So I have to see when that pump is trying to come and I have to breathe deeply and just start in the moment changing my nervous system to let it know where we are currently, because it's almost like a past version of myself where like I'm not there anymore, but my body thinks it is. So I have to reprogram it and just let it know that we're good and it's safe. So this seems like there's going to be some nervous system resetting, reprogramming. It feels like it's your body. It's like when notice how your body gets anxious or nervous or wants to speed things up. And you might have to be like, okay, yeah, no, we're not speeding things up anymore. We're actually going a little slower and we're sitting into things and we're going a little deeper. And this is going to take a little bit more focus than the other things we've done in the past. And this allows me to slow down and move in a different way. So that one thing I do know about this identity is it's a slower, calmer, deeper version of you. Friends, I'm so excited to announce that my company just released a new app called Clarity. I made this as a space where you can take your spiritual practice to the next level. I am so grateful that this podcast has become part of your practice, but I'd love to invite you to go a bit deeper. I want to invite you to shift your energy completely, and you can do that with the Clarity app. The greater and lasting shifts will come from practices like listening to the guided meditations we have. We have soul path meditation, we have the trust yourself meditation, we have the spirit baby meditation, and many, many more. You'll also get to take advantage of my practical guidance. You hear me share practical tips on the pod all the time. Well, in the app, I've made videos for some of those tips, like how to teach your AI how to give you a reading. And for my business lovers, we have exclusive pod episodes uploading there regularly. Right now, we have messages about your business's big shift and the energy of successful selling. Plus, As a member, you're invited to a monthly reading with me where I answer questions live with my intuitive downloads. You get extended Monday readings and, of course, a community section where you can connect with other brave hearts just like yourself. The link to join is in the description below. I can't wait to see you in the Clarity app and see how much your life is shifting into the authentic expression you know it is meant to be. Message number three. There's a lot of new education coming your way because there is a gap of knowledge from where you are, right? This old identity to where you're actually going to that new version. I do see education coming your way. So books are probably going to be your best friends, going to maybe conferences, having conversations with people that are maybe done what you want to do, coaches, guides, teachers, all sorts of things. But there's a lot of education during this time. And I feel like maybe you've done education before. Maybe you've read things for yourself, but this feels more specialized rather than kind of just like picking up books because you see somebody talk about it. It feels like you are almost giving yourself a curriculum. You know what you need to learn in order to get to where you're going. So you may get a bunch of books in finances or something like that and really create the curriculum yourself rather than just kind of like whatever comes your way. Does that make sense? I feel like you're a little bit more active in what you're doing because it could even be that like, oh, I love to read rom-com books, but I can't read so many of those right now because I really have to read business books right now. So it feels like you have to be involved in what you're picking up and you have to be involved in the actual education of this. And if this doesn't really resonate, you might have to remind yourself that there is a gap in knowledge, that you just don't know what you don't know. Even something like becoming a mother, it's interesting. People tell you, oh, you'll just know, you know, like you're just going to know. I did not know shit when those kids were born. Like I didn't even know how to like wipe him well and all sorts of things. Like, thank God my dad is a pediatrician. That poor guy, I called him all the time at all hours. And sometimes he would be like, Nikki, he's a newborn and that's why he's crying. There's nothing else. The guy's not suffering from anything. He's just a newborn. But there's a lot like that you don't know, even for something that like you're supposed to know or you're supposed to be intuitive about it. It's okay to study, you know, it's okay to pick up a book or it's okay to watch a documentary or something. We have to have the awareness that there is a gap in knowledge, even if it's something that we might even be a little ashamed that there's a gap in knowledge. For example, dating or like relationships or even marriage, right? You just kind of assume you should know about marriage or you should know about dating or relationships. And it feels kind of silly to pick up a book. I remember when I was dating, and at the time I was going to Barnes & Noble all the time, and I was so embarrassed about all the books that I was buying, but it got me to where I am. So I'm grateful for all the really funny titles. I used to always be like, these really pathetic titles make me look real bad, but they were helping me get to where I needed to go. And I just had to admit to myself that I just did not really know how to do this thing called dating. And now it's like, I don't always know how to be the parent or be the wife. There's actually things that I'll have to read and get better at in order to be better at these roles. So kind of just coming to terms with that there is a gap of knowledge and that you'll have to educate yourself within this gap. Message number four, there's a lot of repetition with this new identity. So because you're not going to go from one identity to the next, it's not like, oh, just because we name it, we become it. It seems like we become it through repetition, through doing the thing over and over again. If I was getting the impression of like, you're on a horse, you fall off and you get back up again. And I was getting also the ballet teacher who's like, again, do that turn again. And you're like exhausted and it's like, again. So there's a lot of repetition here. It's actually through the doing, through the showing up, the performing. If you're a writer, it's through the writing. If you're dating, it's through the dating. There's a lot of repetition of getting good at this thing and actually becoming this new identity. And there's a lot of failing a little bit, you know, a lot of like, that didn't work. I got to tweak it and do it like this. And it seems like you know this and maybe you've been on this journey for a while, but I'm definitely getting the sense that you're not doing it fast enough. So like, for example, let's say I'm dating, but I go on a date once every 3 months. That's just too slow for this identity shift that's trying to come in. And, you know, there's a time for that as well. There's a time for dating two people a year. But in this case, this identity shift is trying to come in very quickly. Your shift wants to happen faster than later. So with that, we have to kind of increase the repetition, increase the practice. So for example, if I'm learning piano, I can take one piano class a week, or I can take three classes a week. Like, I'm actually going to learn to be a better piano player with those three classes rather than one class. So it feels like we got to kind of amp it up and make it go a little faster. One thing for me, I remember when I was learning to sell, I would put selling off for a long time. And it wasn't until I had the Soul Reading Method program, which was called Soul Teacher in the beginning, and I had like these other programs that went hand in hand with them, and people wanted them. So I was kind of forced to sell. And it was like through that repetition of selling continuously for about 2 years that I actually got good at it and comfortable, and even just like grew the muscle and realized that I had a certain style and that there was like a way that made sense for me. But I actually had to repeat and do it quickly, as opposed to maybe selling twice a year. I was selling like four times a year, once a quarter, or even more than that, because I had other programs at the same time. I didn't have enough things to sell before that. And I learned through that repetition. So that's what this feels like to me. Because there's repetition, I think there might also be somebody holding you accountable, or like a teacher, a coach perhaps, that is watching you fall on your ass and then have to get back up. But I would say if you're bringing in a teacher or a coach, or you're in some sort of schooling or something, I would definitely balance the consuming of the information, the consuming of the theories and the concepts, with doing. So for example, you're listening to this episode, there are action steps that have been given, and of course you're consuming the information. But I would also make sure that whatever you're consuming, that you are putting into action. If you're reading a book and it gives you those annoying tasks that it gives you to do, I would actually do some of them, and I would actually repeat them, because that looks like where it's at. There has to be learning through failure in a way. And I know we're trying to avoid that. None of us want to learn through failure, but I see it as just tweaking, just being like, yeah, this can be done better. And you're just going to have to see it faster, see it like in real time. I just feel like there's too much time in between your repetition. Message number 5, this new identity comes with a greater sense of focus. And what I mean by that is there's a greater awareness of what is important and what's not important, what's worth your time and what's not worth your time. So it's not a focus like this crazy military, you know, focus. It's more like, oh, that thing. Yeah, I used to love giving some of my time to that person online that who always scares me about where the world is going. But that is not helping my frequency or my energy stay where it needs to stay. This morning, I was on the treadmill at the gym, and right in front of the treadmill, there's like, I don't know, 8 TVs, and they're all blasting different versions of the news. There's CNN, there's Fox, there's everything you can imagine, local news, and then there's E! So every once in a while I watch like Sex and the City reruns, but I don't like looking at those TVs. I try to keep my head down so I don't have to see the TVs, because even though I'm not watching them, it'll say like such and such is bombing such and such, and right, this and this is happening, and this person was murdered. And I get it, that's there, but I don't need to receive that, because it's not really doing anything for what my purpose is in the world. Me losing my focus and paying attention to that is not really helping me move forward. It's not giving me fire to go towards like what it is that I know my purpose is here on Earth. There have been times that I get caught up in that. I want to get caught up in that. Like, I'll put my head up and be like, what? What just happened? And I'm like, oh my gosh, put your head down, Nikki. Like, you're focusing on, you know, the other things that are happening right now as you're walking this treadmill. So it's like that. It almost feels like I said, I love to read rom-coms, and all I've been doing is reading rom-coms, but I've learned that I can only read one a month because my reading time has to go towards these other things. So it's a little bit of realizing what adds to my vibration and what takes away from my vibration, and knowing that I just cannot give attention to the things that take my vibration away or make it kind of messy or misfocused, because my energy is my power. And where that is focused into is like what I'm actually going to create. So there's just this knowing. You're like aware. You're like, oh, there's these things that I do that take me off, and there's these things that I do that like really keep me in the right place. Also, here is the things I give my power to. It's like this friend or this person I know, every time they tell me something about this or they comment on this, or my mom who makes me feel this way, I realize that I've been like giving a lot of power and a lot of emotion to those comments, and they're just not worth it anymore. It's not helping me get to where I want. If anything, it's making me feel more like a victim. And in this case, I really need to feel like this new identity and this hero that I'm becoming. So that's just not helping me. So it's like realizing that I give my power away to certain things, to certain comments. People grab my attention, and I'm realizing that that's just not helping me. And on a more practical level, I think this really is talking about task as well. It's like, you know, as much as I want to cook meals for my family every night, I'm so exhausted at the end of the day, and so is Benny, that it's not really worth our time. So actually like finding somebody who can help us with meals at night is totally worth it for us, because it adds to our energy and it adds to our focus. So this is a task that maybe I'm realizing that is not worth my time as much as maybe using that time to sit with the kids and play a game with them, as opposed to being exhausted and cooking a meal. Instead, I could just warm up a meal that was already made for me somehow and spend that time doing something else. So this is also practical. This is about the tasks that drain us versus the tasks that actually give to us. This is also about the tasks that are part of our new identity, right? So if my new identity, I don't know, is being an entrepreneur, then maybe my old identity of, let's say, being a technician or being a freelancer, there might be things that I hand off or that I look to hire somebody to help me with, because I'm really trying to identify as an entrepreneur now. And an entrepreneur wouldn't be doing this small task of going to the post office, let's say. So this is very task oriented as well. It's about staying in your lane, about understanding this new identity and what are the things that this new identity actually does, and what are the things this new identity does not do. And sometimes some of the things that this new identity has to unload is sad, you know? Like there are some things that's like, oh, I really liked having that job. It's diluting where I'm really trying to go, and I have to let go of some of these things. And of course, sometimes we think that there's nobody to get these tasks, or there's nowhere to unload them, or I don't have the money to hire somebody, or whatever that task may need. But there's a solution for that task. When I was little, I guess I was like a teenager or something. And my mom did this really annoying thing, which she had a housekeeper in our house who would, you know, clean, do laundry, things like that. And when I turned I lived in my house during college years. So I was probably in college, I'm guessing. So maybe it wasn't too bad. And she did this thing where she was like, listen, the housekeeper is not going to do your laundry, and she's not going to clean your room anymore or your bathroom. You need to take care of those things. And I was like, Mom, this is so ridiculous. You have somebody. Why can't we just like let this woman do the job? And she was like, well, one day you're going to need to know how to do this. You're going to need to know how to do laundry and clean houses and whatever, whatever. And I'm like, absolutely not. I'm good at making money. I already knew I was good at making money at that age. And I was like, I'm good at making money. I'm just going to make money to pay somebody to help me with those things. And she was like, well, you're not there yet, unless you want to pay this woman extra to do your stuff. So whatever, that's how I learned to do laundry. And I'm grateful for the task, but I did not like it when I was that age. And I mean, I still believe in that, right? It's almost like I am better at doing the things that I do to make money. So it's better if I use that time than to use some time, I don't know, doing my laundry that maybe I can pay someone to do that laundry for me. Actually, you know who's doing laundry these days? Allie, our daughter. I've noticed that doing the kids' laundry is such a pain in the butt. And she's at home and she's always looking for extra cash. So I started to pay her. I was like, that is so much better use of my money to pay her to do the boys' laundry, because I can go and do what I do, whether it's a reading or do a podcast episode, you know, do whatever it is that I need to do in my business to make greater income than to take that time away from me and do the laundry that I don't even like, that's not adding to my energy. And also I can pay somebody a lot less to do the job, which is our 20-year-old. So this is about a lot of things. It's both energetic, what adds to your energy and what takes from your energy, but it's also timing. It's also like your resources, your task, what's important, what's not important. It's a mix of things. Message number 6, I was getting the feeling that I needed to tell you that this shift it is an up level. It is a, I don't know, just picking up the pace and going bigger, maybe going faster in a weird way, but not faster like through the day to day, but like just being more focused, moving ahead. But one thing that we need to know is that this is about devotion, not discipline. Because I think some of you might be getting this and be like, all right, I guess I got to be like my disciplined self and we got to conquer this goal and go into that masculine way of doing things because like that is what we've learned growing up. That is what society teaches us. This is a very feminine shift. But the feminine is strong. You know, the feminine is the queen. But instead of being crazy and trying to think about discipline, I want you to think about devotion. To me, discipline sometimes is self-hatred. You know, it's like, I don't trust myself. I'm so obsessed with having this goal because I'll feel more worthy when I have this goal. So I got to be really disciplined, right? And to me, devotion is, I love this thing so much. I love myself so much. I believe I deserve this thing. So I'm going to tend to this with devotion. So to me, devotion is very heart-centered. It's very feminine. It reminds me of taking care of a plant. Where discipline, we've tried it, but it doesn't work for us. So the reason I say that is because although there's a whole new way of being with this new identity, and we are going to see new habits, and we are going to see new structures, and we are going to see a new way of doing things, but it's not going to come from like a place of like, I hate myself and I need to do this to accomplish something because I think I'm going to feel good when I accomplish this. Instead, it's like out of love, I shift. Out of love, I change my behavior. Out of love, I show up and I do a twice a week podcast episodes, even though sometimes it might be hard to make that content. It's out of love. It's not because, oh, I must. I'm a bad creator if I don't make something twice a week, or I'm never going to have the business I want, or I'm never going to make money. It's not from that fear, scarcity kind of place. Instead, it's from a place of devotion. So when you think about these new habits and these new things that you must do that might even be hard to do, dating, for example, like maybe I don't want to go on a bunch of dates and I'm not doing it because I'm trying to be disciplined and like trying to get my dates in. It's because I'm devoted. I'm devoted to this vision. I'm devoted to the future version of me that is with that person. I'm devoted to that person so much that I'm willing to go and kiss a bunch of frogs and to see like who that person really is. But it's through devotion and through faith and through trust and through love that I do these things. And yeah, there's a lot of action. And yeah, there's a lot of doing things, even though I'm scared, doing things I don't even think I want to do, but I know it's going to get me to where I want to go. But it's done through devotion. The same way I wake up every morning and feed my kids breakfast. And as much as I don't want to make breakfast, I'd rather just stay in bed or take it slow out of devotion to my children and out of devotion to like them growing into whatever it is that I see them growing as. I'm devoted to them. And that is why I wake up and I do those things. It's not out of discipline and I must do these things. It's because it's out of love. So just remember when you're being hard on yourself, because it's going to happen, it's not discipline, it's devotion. Message number 7, one of the hardest parts of this shift into this new identity is going to be how other people perceive you, or the people who are used to having access to you or used to being close to you, how the way you show up is going to threaten them, quite frankly, just threaten them and maybe trigger them and maybe confuse them because of the new way that you're showing up. And this almost looks like the stickiest part, like almost like this is where you doubt yourself. So for example, let's say you have an online platform and you don't really sell like straight up. You kind of sprinkle things here and there and you're passive about getting people into the things that you do. And you're like, well, that's not working for me. My business isn't growing and I'm not getting new people. This passive way of being is not working for me, but I feel bad putting the people that follow me on the spot and letting them know, hey, if you keep following me, commenting on my stuff, perhaps you are meant to work with me. And maybe I'm going to be not aggressive, but a little bit more transparent about the things that I think they should sign up for, the things that I think they should work with me on or whatever. So then all of a sudden, like you show up less passive and you're a little bit more out there and you're a little bit more transparent and like talking straight to them. That may make them feel uncomfortable. They may be like, oh, I used to like this girl because she put like, you know, pretty pictures of things. And like now she's like, reminding me to do this or to do that. And I don't like that anymore. And then let's say you lose a few people because of that, right? Of that new behavior. that might make you doubt yourself. Like, wait a second, I just lost people and I'm trying to gain people by this new way of being. And now I'm not sure if people like me when I change. And that's always the case, right? I think about somebody that you love who maybe their boundaries got a little bit stronger, or they were a little bit more clear about what they wanted, or they were just a little bit more focused about what they wanted, like how it made you feel. You know, you feel a little threatened. You're like, oh, this person doesn't want to be my friend anymore. Or she's such a snob. She used to be blah, blah, blah. And it's really like, no, she's just finally going after what she wants, you know? And us acting this way or us talking about things this way is like not helping her. So I have this really good friend in Miami who I love. And there was just a stage where it was before I met Benny. And I wasn't like in the best place. We were dating a bunch and we were just going out and like whatever, totally lost in many ways. And we would just gossip, like we would just gossip, gossip, gossip. And I don't know, it was just the way we were. And then I had this other friend who would gossip with us, and eventually she was kind of outgrowing our gossip situation. And I remember a day that we had been gossiping like this forever, you know? And one day we're out and she really tries to change the conversation. And you could tell she did not want to gossip. It was just a low vibe. And I remember being like, oh no, I felt like embarrassed about myself, about how I was stuck in this pattern. And you can clearly tell that she was ready to shift out of it. And what was going to happen is either she was not going to be friends with us anymore, or she was going to see if she can shift us. And she did. It caught my attention. I was like, oh, okay. Maybe we shouldn't be stuck in this place anymore. And she was obviously changing her identity. She was obviously changing her vibe. She was obviously changing what she expected from life, what she expected from friends. And either I was going to be part of that or I wasn't. I caught on real quick and I became part of it. And I'm grateful for it because it changed me at the time. And that is what we are going through as we shift our identity. We are going to have to do some uncomfortable things and be like, you know, I don't want to talk about that anymore. I actually don't want to go to that place with you anymore. I actually don't want to drink anymore. I actually don't want to eat that thing anymore. Whatever it is, because this new identity requires a lot of new habits. And again, if we know like what adds to our energy, what takes from our energy, sometimes the things that take from our energy are going to be surrounded around certain people. There might even be certain people that take from our energy. And it looks like you might get caught up in that. That's like the stickiest part of the shift. But you'll have to see it more as a growing pain and more as like, yeah, imagine you and this friend had this social contract. This is how you guys interacted. This is what you did together. Or maybe this is a client, you know, maybe this is a friend, a client, a partner. And you have to know that like you guys signed an imaginary contract that like you were going to show up this way and they were going to show up that way. And that's what's good. And now all of a sudden you're rearranging the contract. And they're like, well, I didn't sign up for this, right? Especially, let's say, with our partners or our children, right? Like for me, my favorite is when I am like shifting the kids into the next stage, like kind of like, okay, you know, Oliver, you're 12. It's time for you to make your own breakfast or, you know, make your own lunch. And he's appalled, you know, he's like, you don't love me anymore. What kind of a mother are you? And it's like, of course, he's freaking out because I am now changing. I'm like, okay, I am aware that now I'm the mother of a 12-year-old. So as a mother of a 12-year-old, this is the kind of mother I want to be. And like, this is what I want my 12-year-old to experience. So I'm shifting the dynamics and that is not fun for him. And it's easy for me to get caught up in that and be like, you know, maybe he's right. What's the big deal if I just make him lunch or whatever? I remember when my dad did this to me. I graduated college and he handed me, I think it was like my cell phone bill, and I want to say like my car insurance. And I was appalled. I was like, what? What? I was like, how could you do this to me? You obviously don't love me anymore, you know? And it was like, no, he was like, okay, I am the father of a college graduate. This is the kind of father I want to be. This is the transition we're making. And he stood his ground, like, thank God. But I was like, appalled. And I could not believe that he was changing things on me. And that looks like we're going to see some of that. We are going to change the contract with some people. We are going to change what we used to say yes to, what we say no to, what we put up with, what we don't put up with. And people may not like that at first, but they will ultimately catch on, especially if there is love there, right? I didn't stop talking to my dad because he asked me to pay for my phone bill. Ultimately, I understood he loved me, I loved him, and we moved on and we transitioned into the next relationship. So just kind of know that there might be a little bit of that kick and scream because you're breaking a habit or breaking a pattern, you know? Like you guys were working together in a certain way and now you're changing that. So be prepared for that, but that has nothing to do with whether you're making the right or wrong move. It's really just like, that's natural. That's totally natural. And you gotta like stay your ground, even if that means you lose some people, but you're gonna gain more of the people that are the people that are meant to be around this new identity. And our bonus message number 8 is, I thought this was so interesting. I thought that with this new identity, we were going to be like grabbing the horns of, you know, I don't know, you got your sailboat and you're putting it in the right direction. All of a sudden, you're like, I'm taking over and I'm going to take over this. But actually what I was getting is that where you're going with this new identity requires a ton of letting go and a lot of trust. It feels like you're putting a lot of trust into things and a lot of faith. You might be putting trust into other people, for example. Maybe you are hiring people to help you out to get some sort of goal, or I don't know. It's just like, because what's interesting is your old identity was very controlling, but not because it was like getting things done. It was controlling because it was protecting you from feeling certain things. For example, you know how we talked about there's going to be repetition. You're going to get on that horse. You're going to fall off that horse. In a weird way, this controlling version of you is like, we're not even getting on that horse because we don't want to fall. We don't want to hurt ourselves. So we're just not going to get on the horse. And what's interesting is that here you're actually getting like less control because you're going to be like, I'm going to get on that horse and I don't know if I'm going to fall. And I don't know how many times I'm going to fall. I don't know how many times of falling it's going to take me to get to where I'm trying to go. So I actually have like less control in this. So I say that, I almost feel like I don't want to tell you that, but I do want to tell you that because if you find yourself being controlling, you're doing it wrong. It's actually a place of a lot of faith and a lot of trust. A lot of action for sure. And it's a lot of like doing things, but doing it with a ton of faith and a lot of trust that it's going to happen. I think sometimes when we think about trusting and faith, we just sit back. We're like, okay, we're passive about it. This feels very action oriented to me. I don't feel like this is passive. I feel like you're going to be doing a lot of things, but you have to have faith. So that might be like, for example, when I started doing the EMDR with my therapist, I was like, after we were out of it, I was like intellectualizing what we just did. I'm like, okay, so if I start to think like this, or if I start to act like this, like this is what happened. And she's like, Nikki, it's going to work. You just got to trust that it's going to work. She's like, I've done this a million times. It works. You don't need to intellectualize the healing. Just let it do its job. It's going to do its job. And I was trying to take notes and I wanted to control and make sure that it was going to work, you know, but I had to put my full faith in her and faith that like she's done this a million times. She knows what she's talking about, even though this protector kind of controlling part of me wants to get in the way or maneuver this, right? So if you see yourself or you see those parts of yourself showing up, definitely stop and ask it, what are you trying to protect me from? I see that you have had a big role in my life for so long. You've kept me safe from certain things, but where I'm going, it is a bigger, wider world, and you're really kind of amping up how you want to keep me safe. But the truth is, I can't go with this chaperone. And it's not that I'm telling you to like go away, but you just can't lead. You know, you can't be the leader here. The leader here is actually this new identity. The leader here is my true self, who knows she's becoming that new identity. She's the leader. These other like chaperones, you know, they have to go and sit in the back of the bus, or they need to wait to come and be with me later. So really paying attention to that. If you're controlling, there's something a little off, and it seems like it's off because you're trying to keep yourself safe. And you are going to get a little bruised up on this journey for sure. And you are going to stretch and feel a little bit uncomfortable and just feel like in the unknown. But you guys, it is worth it. Your life is so much better on the other side. So you got to go, you know, you got to take it. And I think also the reason that there's a lot of trust here is I think there's trust in other people as well. My feeling is that you're going to bring people in to support you during this time. And you might have to trust. For example, I remember when my business was taking off, I knew I needed to get a full-time nanny for my youngest. And that was so scary for me to not be part, because I had been part of Oliver since he was very little. And Allie, I took, you know, I was with her for all those years in the beginning. So I was not sure what it would look like to hand off Ethan so early or have help so early, but I had to hire well and trust that at 1 year old, he was ready to have a little bit more help, that it wasn't going to be just me. And there was a lot of trust there. You know what I mean? So it's like bringing in somebody that like, you know, you need some support, you know, you need some help. And it might be like support and help in the most precious part of your life, but it's helping you do what you know you're being called to at the same time. So it was like, I was being very called to growing that business and taking that momentum. And it was so important to our family just a few years later. So I'm happy that I did that very scary thing of trusting somebody with the most precious thing that I have. So there's some trust. Maybe it's like, I'm trusting a dating coach. Maybe I'm trusting a financial advisor, wherever that trust is. But there's some sort of faith and trust you're putting into somebody else. Yeah. And lastly, that message feels like letting go. You're not going to shift into a new identity without letting go things that were of the old identity. And there might be some grieving and even just some confusion. Like, what do I take with me and what don't I take with me? And it feels like a sign of what you don't take with you will feel like kind of a little bit of like a panic or like a back and forth. I feel like when you're a little bit slow, calm, and steady, that is the way you're supposed to be moving ahead. And if there's something that's causing a little bit of confusion and back and forth and a little bit of anxiety, that seems like that is part of the old identity. So take a look at like what is causing that and that old identity. Why did she need that? And what was that there for? And understanding how that can't really go with this new identity, because the new identity is more mature in a sense and she doesn't need that anymore. And it's a protector. It's like kind of like something that protects you and it's something that keeps you safe. But it's a part of you that goes in circles a lot. And it's a little bit of doubt, but it's a circular thing. So when you see that, that's going to be a sign of one of the things that is being asked to let go. All right, my friends, I can't wait to see your new identities. If you're in Clarity app, I'd love to know the name of the new identity. Drop it in the community section. I'd love to hold space for you and for the whole community, for all of us to hold space for these new identities that are coming forward so that they create the new life that we know that we're creating as well. So I'm so excited for you and I will see you in the next episode. That's it for today's episode. Thank you so much for listening. I love you guys so much. If you have a sec, I would so appreciate it if you would leave me a review wherever you listen to podcasts. Those reviews are so helpful. And if you're ready to start living your soul-led life, pick up my latest book, Soul-Led Living, available on Amazon. Until next time, love you much.